Oh man, last week we were saying that when you turn down the volume of life a little bit, you turn down the television, the radio, and the magazine reading, and you go first to your own inner voice, you will have a contact with that part of your nature that knows, and it knows that it knows. It knows what to do. It knows the next right step. So I realize, for those of you who actually followed that, you were going to be out of touch with some of the news that was going on. So I decided to fill you in on some things you might not know that might be very important for you to know, just to say, to stay culturally, you know, connected to those people around you. Heidi Klum and Seal indeed are splitting. Unfortunately, it's happening because Heidi feels, quote, she made the right decision to separate. They're both fed up with the fighting. Aww. So you can let go of your prayers for them. It's not going to happen. However, your prayers for Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith still can be used, because defying continued buzz of trouble in their marriage, they showed a united front when they were out at the basketball game. So there's still hope there. You might just put in a special prayer for them. On the rocks, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale, although they put up a very good front, the word is not good for them. And finally, Simon Cowell, you must have heard of the bloodbath, those of you who didn't turn down the volume. But those of you who did turn down the volume, there is going to be a bloodbath on the X Factor. And everybody has been fired, with the exception of L.A. Reid. Everybody, including Paula. It's nothing personal. But nonetheless, they're all going, including her, and it's amicable. So now, you know, you're back. You know what's going on in the world. Nothing has happened that is irreparable that you needed to be there to know. And welcome back to Happy Hour. Welcome back to 12 weeks to a way of life that works. There was a woman who lived in a rent control department, as many of us did or do. And she was coming home from work, true story, she was coming home from work to her rent control department, going up the steps as she did every week. She was in the theater. And her landlord stopped her on the steps and said, "I'm so sorry. I'm just letting you know that at the end of the month," he caught her at the very beginning of the month, "the end of the month, 4 weeks from now, you're going to have to leave, because we're going to be renovating the apartment, of course, and selling it for much more money than you can afford, and you can't afford it anyway because I'm going to be moving my family in." Okay? And he told her this just boom, just like that, without any warning. And her reaction was probably everybody's reaction, because in New York, you really can't afford hardly to stay where you are, and you certainly really can't afford to move. So you're kind of between a rock and a hard place, as she felt. And being in the theater, you spend as much time not working, actually, as you do working. That's kind of what acting is like. Half your time you're waiting or waitering, and the other half of your time you are actually acting. And her first response was, of course, what everybody's first response wanted to be. She said, "I felt the steam coming out of my ears. I couldn't believe that he was doing this to me. I couldn't believe I have been such a good tenant. I have paid on time. I've been so clean. I've been so kind. I gave money." That's a very big deal, as everybody knows. Cash, cash, cash at Christmas and all the different holidays. "I didn't do anything wrong. And this is the thanks that I get." And we, when we encounter situations like that in our life, kind of have the same initial knee-jerk response, which is why I want to read you something that you are going to find so interesting. Salmon have much to teach us about the art of facing things. In swimming up waterfalls, these creatures seem to defy gravity. A closer look reveals a wisdom for all beings who want to thrive. So what the salmon somehow know is how to turn their underside, from center to tail into the powerful current coming at them, which hits them squarely, and the impact then launches them out and further up the waterfall, to which their reaction is, again, to turn their underside back into the powerful current, of which, of course, again, hits them squarely. And this successive impact launches them further out and up the waterfall. Their leaning into what they face bounces them further and further along their journey. And from a distance, it seems magical, when in actuality, they are deeply at one with their element, vibrantly and thoroughly engaged in a compelling dance of turning toward and being hit squarely that moves them through water and air to the very source of their nature by exposing their underside to the current coming at them. It is the physics of this courage that enables them to move through life as they know it so directly. Right? I mean, outrageous. So what does it even have to do with this girl or with us facing any of the things we're facing or doing except everything? Because what they do is turn squarely towards that which is coming at them. They don't run. They don't leave. They don't hide. They don't whine. They don't complain. They turn that underside, another word for that underside is their vulnerable side. They turn their vulnerable side to the water, and they take the blow, and it propels them forward. And it has everything to do with us, because our first instinct first is to run. Our first instinct is to leave. Our first instinct is to say, why me? And when we do that, we miss the opportunity of being able to be fully present with what's happening, whatever it is, and to let that waterfall, to let that new circumstance come in and move us to the next right place. We've been talking for weeks that everything in life is a movement toward our perfect happiness, which means that if everything's a movement toward our perfect happiness, that this is too. Meaning, her standing on the steps, her landlord saying, you know what, you're out of here, without so much as a thank you. How could it be that this circumstance that looks this way could possibly be propelling her forward, and yet, on this path, we are told, everything propels us forward, but we can't see it with our eyes, which means we got to use our deeper eyes. And that's what the morning time practice is about, focusing our deeper eyes so we can begin to see what's really happening in our lives, that's happening for us. If we don't see that, we'll hightail it out of there. And that's exactly what she wanted to do. Her first instinct was just to shake this guy, as it would be for anybody. And she didn't. And there is a theory called the theory of the U, as in the letter U. And it's a theory about how to change the way we walk in the world. And the theory of U says, when something happens in our life, when we go straight towards it, when we go straight at it, I hate that this shit happened, I can't believe you did this to me, and you know what, I'm gonna sue you, or I'm gonna hurt you, or I'm gonna hate you, or something. When we go right there, we miss an extraordinary opportunity to create a different future for ourselves. When we go straight at it like that, we end up creating the future that is based upon our past. So tomorrow, it's going to look just like yesterday. All the things we didn't want yesterday are going to show up in tomorrow because we did not take that moment to go, they say, down in the direction. And look at what the U is. First, you got to go down to go down, to take a moment to go down. Because when we go down deeply enough, there's only one direction to take. We don't have to make a decision. When we go down deeply enough, that decision is made. And we end up feeling that decision, knowing that next right decision. And we let that decision take us. When we go deeply down enough, when we go, don't go deeply down enough, we're there with our lists and our pros and our cons. Okay, so if I move here, then this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. If I don't move, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And those lists change all the time. Then involve three or four of your friends to add their pros and cons. And the next thing you know, you haven't moved because it's hard to tell which is the way to go. In the theory of you, we are told if you take a breath, and they call that first part of the you. There's the top of the you, the bottom of the you, and then the top of the you when you act. When you take the experience in, they call that sensing. S-E-N-S-I-N-G, sensing. Meaning you observe, and you observe. You watch what has just happened. And based on the last 5 weeks of what we've been doing, what you hold in your mind is that all things are a movement toward your perfect happiness. You put it in a context as opposed to this is just some random thing happening. You stop and you put it into a context. When you put it into the context, you take a breath and you are observing, but you're observing with deeper eyes, meaning you're not calling forth what goes on in our head normally, which is, oh my God, what bad luck I have. I can't believe this has happened to me again. I guess life doesn't want me to be an actress. I can't believe I don't know where to live. I can't believe this. Oh, I can't believe that. And the next thing you know, you are off and running in an unconscious stream of thought that leads you backwards to your childhood and reinforces for you everything that hasn't worked. That's the broken ego telling you a broken story about your life when you don't take a breath, right? Which is why the Tao Te Ching says this: you have got to meet the outer world with your inner world. If you don't, existence will crush you. It will crush you. We won't be able to withstand the changes. They will be so powerful. They'll be so hurtful. They will be so overwhelming that we are not going to want to play this game of life because it's too hard. We're not going to know. We're just not going to be able to find the courage to come out each and every day because we will be crushed by the amount of changes and things that seem to be taken away from us that indeed aren't. So the first thing you do is you observe. And what she did was she took one moment right there. She stopped. And she took one moment and she took a breath, which is atypical of her because the first thing we want to do is send in the Marines, right? She took a breath and she just let the situation be what it was. Here's my landlord. He's telling me this information. I don't know why it's happening to me, but I know it must be happening for me if the truth that I've been studying is true, that everything is a movement toward our perfect, whole, perfect, meaning whole, happiness. Aerodynamically, salmons have been created to get to where they're supposed to be, to spawn and do what they need to do in that short period of time. Their bodies have been created that way. Last week we talked about wrapped in a leaf is the sound of water. Life itself places the sound of water inside the leaf, so the leaf comes into life and unwraps itself and opens itself to the experience that life brings it to the sun, to the soil, to the wind, whatever is needed. And we too have been created equally as aerodynamically within so that when these situations happen and we respond in a way that is not a knee-jerk, unconscious response, the force of the blow of the unexpected surprise will propel us further into our perfect happiness. And we say, how can that be? I don't have money for another apartment. How can that be? I don't know where I'm supposed to move. Things have gotten so much more expensive. This is rent control. I've had this for a long time. You can't get another rent control place like this. You can't. It's just not going to happen, or rent stabilize. It's just not going to happen. And we go to that place instead of the place. The theory of the you says stop and observe exactly where you are. Let yourself see what is right in front of you. The great Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron says, one of the most marvelous things about unexpected surprises are they grab you and shake you out of the story you've been telling yourself in your head. Because we walk around 95% of the day and we got the story. I'm not this, I'm not that, this isn't this, this isn't that. And it's the same thing we've been saying in our head forever. That constant stream of dialogue, which does us no good, which is old, which is so old, so old. That, for a moment, when the unexpected surprise happens, it stops just like that. And in that moment of surprise is a gap between what you've been telling yourself and what the future possibility is for your life. And in that gap, if you do not react with force and react instead with what they call at the bottom of the U, presence. Look at the difference in that word. Presence. You observe and you open yourself up to what has just transpired, because what we want to do is shrink up and close down and curse out. When in fact, we are invited to be present. That's the morning practice. That's the second thing a morning practice will do for you. It allows you, as the Buddhists say, to hold your seat. You hold your seat at the moment something like that is coming at you. And in doing so, everything changes. Why? Because the future has not been written yet. We think it has. And we fill in what the future looks like based on what the past was. So this guy's going to throw me out and I'm going to be struggling, or I might be homeless, or I'm going to have to move into the basement of my parents' apartment. How humiliating. How embarrassing. I can't believe I'm here again. What happened? I can't believe that here I am in my 30s and I'm still struggling with these things. That's what we think the future outcome will be, based on the story that goes on in our mind constantly. In the moment when you become present, when you stop and observe, they say, and observe. They say it three times. Observe, observe, look at what's in front of you instead of what you think is really happening. You become present in the moment. And in that moment, the next line of the story of your life has not yet been written. It hasn't been written yet. See, here is the law. It says whatever we turn to, we turn into. And I love that line, because it lets me know wherever my head is in any given moment, that's who I'm becoming. I'm walking down the street and I'm all about the urine on the street, and it's so crowded, it's so smelly, and people are littering and all this stuff. I become that. I become. We turn into what we turn to. And that is a marvelous and almost magical law, because it says wherever you turn your attention, that is what you are now shaping your next moment to become. Because when is the next moment of your life being shaped? In this one. That's why Pema is so excited. I mean, God bless her. She lives in a monastery, so she doesn't have to worry about rent-controlled apartments. You know she's not paying $3,000 a month for a stupid little 500-square-foot nothing, you know, with a tub in the you know, living room in the kitchen. Yeah, right. She's up there, and where is she? She is in... Halifax. Gorgeous monastery. Oh my God, overlooking the cliffs. She doesn't have these worries. However, she does have something to tell us about this. Because what she says is that surprise is your best friend. She looks at surprises and unexpected things. She will tell you the moment you recognize that life is your friend, life changes. And that's what we've been talking about for 5 weeks. Anything that wishes us well, that moves us towards our perfect happiness, that seeks to remove from us that which we aren't so we can have more of that which we are and that which we want, that is a life that is befriending us. And when we become present, she calls it holding our seat. She calls it holding our seat. When we can hold our seat, when we're getting the pink slip, we can hold our seat when our lover leaves. When we hold our seat when the doctor says, I found something in the x-ray. When we can hold our seat when we expected a yes and have gotten a no. And when we can hold our seat when something fabulous happens, because it's not just when difficult things happen. One thing I learned from my dentist, who has now followed her man to, she finally got... God bless her. She finally found a man. She was like in her 50s. She finally got that man, you know. And when you finally find the man in your 50s, man, you're going to hold on to him even if you end up in Australia, which he did. Opening up a bed and breakfast, which was his dream. So I lost my fabulous dentist, but she gained a wonderful life. And she said, here's the thing about stress that people don't understand. Good stress and bad stress shows up the same way in your body. Your body doesn't know the difference between fabulous stress, meaning such exciting, great things happening, and oh my God, such a horrible thing happening. Your body reacts as if it is stress, period, at one level. And so what they're saying is you hold your seat, because oftentimes we can become as nutty when something good happens, when we finally get what it is we want. And I am thinking of a woman, because we talk, because this is February, and there's no way to be in February in America and not talk about love. I'm sorry. It's on everybody's mind. Whether you're single or you're not, it's just here. And what she did was she attracted to herself a man, and a very handsome man, and a well-read man, a man with a lot of letters after his name. And she was so pleased to have a man of that caliber. That is exciting, fabulous, marvelous stress. And if we react to it the same way we react when the waterfall is coming and a big wave hits us and we close down, if we react that way to good stress, the way we do to bad, what we won't do is the first thing, which is observe, observe, observe. When something marvelous comes and it seems to be an answer to a prayer, sometimes we close our eyes and we say, oh my God, this is the answer to my prayer. I'm walking in. Of course, our eyes are closed. I'm walking in. This is just what I wanted. And we don't see another thing about this guy. She didn't see another thing, which meant she did not see one red flag after another. And I'm a red flag queen. In fact, I am a red flag. Oh my God. I was born in a red flag factory. So you know a red flag. And this guy was all red flags. But because she could not, and as we say all the time in here, this is not a story about them. This is a story about us in these situations. We use their stories. They're probably using our stories. So we can see what happens when something bad happened, quote unquote. When something great happened, the reaction was different. Something bad happened and this woman kept her eyes open. Isn't that interesting? Something seemingly bad happened. She kept her eyes open. She observed and she allowed herself to go down. When you go down deeply enough, there's going to only be one direction to take, and you're going to see it. It's going to become obvious. You don't have to sweat the decisions you make. You're going to know what they are, and they're going to come peacefully because they're coming from the place that knows and knows that it knows, right? She went down deeply enough. She didn't know what it was for, but she let herself, like the salmon, expose. What is holding your seat? You feel so exposed when you're holding your seat. You know, you want to run, you want to hide, you want to brace yourself, you want to defend. In fact, the whole world of the broken ego is about attacking or defending, one or the other. To stand there, to be available, to hold your seat, that's the purpose of a morning practice, to be able to practice holding your seat when something like that happens. And over here, something fabulous happened. Here's the guy. Oh my God, here's the guy. And these days, it's not just the guy, it's the soulmate. Everybody is a soulmate. You go right from the guy to the soulmate, okay? In my day, being older, we had to practice working our way up to the soulmate. But this is the guy. And what she did was she did not observe, and observe. It begins with a breath, right? I am here now, what you've been doing, some of you, for weeks. I am here now, 3 seconds, where you say it, and you breathe, and you look at what's right in front of you, is to build the muscle of observing so you can see what's in front of you. Why? Because Al-Anon says this. I hated them for saying this, but it was so true. They said, in the first 20 minutes when you meet somebody, they're going to tell you everything you need to know. Everything. And you're not going to want to hear it. And you're going to land up in a place and say, I cannot believe you misrepresented yourself. And the fact is, if we were listening, we would have heard that in the first 20 minutes, they showed us everything we need to know. And what did he show her that he did not, that she did not, could not observe? That he still was involved with somebody else. It's a very messy situation. Very messy situation. Okay? So this is neither good nor bad. This is how the theory of you works and how the theory of you, I love that, the theory of you, takes you, the you, to your deepest place so that your eyes are open and you're not jumping from the kettle into the, from the frying pan into the fire, which is what we do when we aren't available to go a little bit deeper, right? That's all we're talking about, a little bit deeper, that breath that you've been taking a little bit deeper. Down beneath the observing is presence, meaning I stand and I'm totally present and I'm looking at this guy. She stands, she's totally present, and she's looking at this landlord who looks like a bum. How could he do this to her, give her no notice? He looks like an Adonis, my God. He lives somewhere on an island. You know, he is just, he's just the shit, man. There are just some guys are just nice guys. Some guys are like really sweep you off your feet kind of guys where you just have to back off and say, remember that woman who spoke in here months ago saying, I couldn't believe this guy was just all over me. There are just some guys that you just cannot believe your good fortune. But if you have your eyes closed, you're not seeing him. You're seeing what you want him to be, right? Over here, she's not seeing the landlord. She could be reviewing in her mind all the landlord stories she had heard, one bad landlord story after another, but she didn't do it. See, all of this is about stepping out of the unconscious story of our life, which leads us to what? To tomorrow being a Xerox copy of today, of yesterday, so that every tomorrow is going to look like every yesterday because you're doing exactly what you did before. Your eyes aren't open. You're not present. You're working on automatic pilot. This requires us to stop. There's an old story about Buddha that he met this great giant, another Goliath story. You have to love Goliath stories because they're everywhere, not just in the Bible, they're everywhere. A big giant man who went through the town where Buddha was living at the time, killing and violent. And he was wanted by the police at the time, and he was just creating such havoc. And who should Buddha meet on the road but this guy? And they come face to face, it just so happens, as the legend goes. And there they are standing face to face, and Buddha being Buddha. I'm sure he didn't know the theory of you, but here's what he did. He observed the man that was in front of him. Not what he was told about him, not what everybody said about him. He made his own observation based in that moment. And where is the story of your life being written tomorrow? The story tomorrow, today, in this moment, handled with presence, gives you a whole different sentence starting the chapter of tomorrow, because you're entering the story with a fresh sheet of paper. It hasn't been written yet. You're not taking what your dad said, what your mom said, what others said, what the world says. That's why we turn down the volume on the world. And I'll feed you in weekly if you want me to. I will put it upon myself to go through the National Enquirer, the Us magazines, Hello, Today, whatever it is you ask. I'll have done it for you so you can be informed as you begin to build up the voice, that still small voice within you that you got to hear. And he's standing in front of this guy. And here's what happens. Here's the entire dialogue. He looks at this man who has killed how many people? And he says, I have stopped. You have not stopped. And as legend has it, in that moment, that man heard it. He had heard that he had been running all his life. He had never stopped for a moment. See, what I'm saying sounds so easy. Stop for a moment, observe. It's like, of course, anybody can do it. The fact is, no, we can't. Because we are always running somewhere away from something. To stop is an elegant, elegant exercise, an elegant practice, because you bring the force of all of your energy into the moment and you pick up a pen and you write a different line to the story than the story that was written for you growing up. Right? With our eyes closed, if I can't stop, if I can't look, if I can't observe, if I can't be present, because this is the greatest guy, and I'm of the age, and I want to have kids, and you know what? I am going to leave my job, which she did. I'm going to get rid of my apartment, which she did. I'm going to sell my car, which she did. And she moved with him to the islands. No matter how many people in her life said, don't do this. Wait. Observe, look, stop. See, if stopping were easy, we'd all be stopping. But look, when he said this to this guy, stop, you haven't stopped. What he meant was, when we don't stop, we perpetrate violence. This is a story about a guy who is a killer, yeah, but this is a story about what happens to us when we don't stop. We do harm to ourselves and we do harm to those around us because we haven't stopped. And the theory of you says you got to stop right in that moment. Or the next line of your story is going to look like the line of your story you've been writing since you were 4 years old saying life is unfair. Nobody's going to love me. I'm never going to find a guy. That story. The third part of the theory of the you is when you come out
on the other side. And it's called realizing.
She goes upstairs, she leaves her landlord, right? She didn't take any action. She walked away from him, she didn't say a word because she was afraid if she'd say a word, she was very volatile, they might have been four-letter words, so it was better she just went upstairs and just left it for another day. So she was present, and she left before she wrote the next line of her story. Every voice but my true self. Just be silent in me so I can hear what's really going on inside of me. Because if I hear what's really going on, I'll know what to do. She picks up the phone. She goes to her apartment. She picks up the phone. She calls her boyfriend at the time. Her boyfriend, who for years, they're totally into one another, but he was one of those kind of non-committal type of guys. And she tells him the story as calmly as she has ever told a story in her life. And this is so atypical of her because she's not a calm person, because you heard me say she's an actress. So they tend to be just much more volatile and dramatic. I live with a singer and an actress, and there are times when she says, well, she'll say, I'm not feeling it. And I said, hey, you're an actress. Pretend you feel it. Right? Let's get something going on from all that acting on Broadway you did. Right? He can't believe how cool she is, how relaxed she is, because in this place of the theory of you, you are understanding something and you are feeling something. Everything we talk about, the life, the will of life being a movement toward our perfect happiness, understood, that's one level. When you connect to it, and that's what presence is, you go down to a place inside of yourself where you begin to feel that. When you feel that, then you trust that. The reason we started by saying, thy will be done, had nothing to do at all with God. It had everything to do with thy will, that will in me that knows and knows that it knows. I want to know what it knows because it knows my next right move. And he's saying to her, I can't believe how calm you are. I mean, this is just a miracle. You are so relaxed and calm. Over here, she is off in the islands, moves in with him against everybody's word. She hasn't listened, hasn't observed. And where did she land? She landed in an old place, as we often do. She landed in a situation that was not a new situation. It was an old situation in a new part of town. She was playing second fiddle to somebody else who hadn't yet moved out. He wasn't totally into her because he was still totally into the woman he had. She gave up everything for him. He didn't ask her to. She gave up absolutely everything she had to give up. An apartment in New York, you either have to be mentally disturbed or you better know that person is going to like marry you and stay with you forever, or you'll poke their eyes out. Because when you give up your apartment, man, you know, that's a big deal, right? Carol was with how many girls? She held on to her apartment on Central Park West like it was gold, right? 4 years after I had proven myself, she finally let go of that apartment on Central Park West because it's New York. You can't find apartments. She gave it all up for him. He never asked her to. And here she is stranded in the middle of a place she doesn't know. She doesn't know anybody. She doesn't even know this guy. She doesn't know who this guy is. She only knew him for 90 days. So when she came out and made that decision, you're not observing, you're not observing, you're not observing, you're not present, you're not present, you're not present. You are not feeling what you're feeling. You are not feeling what is the right thing to do for me and what is the wrong thing to do. When you go down deep enough, there's only one direction, and that direction is towards your perfect happiness, I'm telling you. We think we're going to have to do a pro and con list down at that level. No, we don't. She didn't stop. You have not stopped, Buddha said. And I have. And what does that mean? You are doing harm to yourself and you're doing harm to other people because you have not stopped to know who you are. Stopped running. Take a breath and find yourself in this moment so that when you come out the other side, the next inevitable, inexorable decision you need to make. And you're going to love this because it comes right out of the Tao. It says, the sage acts without acting. And what does that mean? The next right decision takes itself. It's almost as if you're not making the decision. It's happening. And you're feeling the energy. You're feeling what direction you need to move in, just like the salmons do. You are feeling that you are being moved upward into the right direction for you to go and give birth to your next great idea. And your next great idea does not look like what you did yesterday or what happened to you in childhood. It doesn't. Because you took this moment in time to enter this gap. And you've left the unconscious movement of life, and you've made it conscious, and that's why Pema Chodron can say surprises like these are fabulous. These unexpected changes are actually fabulous for you because they stop you, and they make you observe, and they make you present,
and they make you realize.
And you're so present and alive and real, and the next right action acts through you. We think, oh, it's going to be an agonizing decision. No, it isn't. The next right action from this place acts through you. She's on the phone with her boyfriend. Now, she didn't call her boyfriend for anything. She just called him because who are you going to call? You're going to call your boyfriend? You want to get a certain amount of pity back about what just happened to me. If he's a good enough boyfriend, he's going to feel sorry for you. And here's what he did. He said, I have never heard you be this calm and this trusting. He said, it's beautiful. This is just such a different you. And it was a different you. He said, you know what? Why don't you move in with me? He who was noncommittal. He who said, I'm not that guy. He who said, don't ask it of me. He said, why don't you move in with me? The next right action takes itself. It takes you. It moves through you. Only the head needs to make a list of the pros and cons. When you follow the theory of you, life itself, the source itself, the greater self that you are and always have been that is inside of you. Please listen to the last weeks, because all of this sets you up to understand why we needed to learn all that, to prepare you to how to use all that. Because it's meant to be used, not as information that's fascinating so you can write a book and get on Oprah. But there's no Oprah, so who? Oh, you can get on Sirius. Yeah, you can get on her radio thing, right? She's still doing something. You could still make something happen with Oprah if you wanted to. But that's not why we're doing this. We're doing this so that we can step out into our life and move from correct decision to correct decision. You know why? Because incorrect decisions are brutal, man. I saw her 7 months after she made her way back to the States, and this is not about her. This is about us. This story is my story. And she had yet to pull herself out of that deep, dark, despairing hole that she had dug herself into, because she did not stop. No different than what Buddha says. You do not stop. And so we land here when we do not stop. We do harm to others. We do harm to ourselves. I stop, he says. And so gently, we move a little more slowly in our life. But the choices that we make come from the deepest, richest place in us. And when they come, there's only one thing to do, and that's the thing that we do. Because when you go deep down enough, there's only one direction to take. That's why it says this path will always tell you the path of life. Meet the outer world with your inner world so that it does not crush you, so that it does not exhaust you. But like the salmon, it continues to lift you up higher and higher so that you may give birth, which is what you're destined to do, to whatever that new life, that new you, that new idea, that new thing is that only you can give birth to. But we need to come as the salmon, open. We can't run, we can't hide. We take the moment and we let this soft underbelly, we let it come in. And when we do, we discover what we are promised, which the will of life is absolutely without exception for your perfect happiness. Enough said.